Welcome at 7:40 on the WSGW Thursday Morning Team Show. And on Thursday mornings, it's Ontario Hockey League action. And the update of our Saginaw Spirit, WSGW, your broadcast affiliate, all games on 100.5. And Voice of Spirit Hockey that you enjoy on those game broadcasts in studio to talk Spirit Hockey with us. That would be you, Joey Vitano. Good morning and welcome once again, sir.
Morning, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
We welcome you after the Spirit played a few games. Quick little reference to that. We'll forget about the last game we played before Thanksgiving against Flint. It was a loss at Flint, but I think just by odds, because what was it, like 5 years since the last time that the Firebirds actually won on their home ice?
They were due.
Yeah, they were due. I'm more intrigued by the weekend sweep, the home-and-home series with Windsor. Interesting games Friday in Windsor and Saturday in Saginaw. As the Spirit had some great offense, got out to these leads, and things got a little dicey in the end, but Spirit picked up the wins. That's what's the important thing. Regulation win on Friday and having to go overtime on Saturday. I'm sure that Coach Lazary and the staff would rather build the lead and keep it than give it up. But, hey, that's Ontario Hockey League action sometimes.
I would think so. We all left out a collective breath, a big one, kind of like letting the air out when those games were finally over. Yeah, it would have been nice to walk away with those games. But what I think everyone needs to keep in mind is that, one, Windsor is a very good hockey team and was expected to compete with the Sioux for, you know, top spot in the division and in the conference. So the fact that they've gotten off to a bit of a rocky start, you have to anticipate that they're gonna push. They're gonna be right there at the end. So I was not surprised that. You know, I wasn't surprised they came back in their building and put a push on. I was surprised that they came back in our building on back-to-back nights, despite being down. That time it was 3 goals in our building. So I do give them credit for that, and they got out of there with a point. But you got to give credit to Saginaw for just continuing to push and being able to finish. It wasn't the prettiest way to finish, for sure, on both nights. But they got the job done. They got 4 big points against a division rival. And anytime you come out of a weekend set, 2 out of 3, you know, you're playing winning hockey. So, again, the team's playing very well right now overall. They're... You know, we just made a trade for a veteran forward, Justin O'Donnell. He's going to come in and hopefully have an impact. He's a former second round pick in the league that didn't quite get the opportunity in Sarnia over the last year plus. And so he's going to come in, and he's got, you know, prior relationships with Josh Bloom and Roberto Mancini from different minor hockey as kids. So it'll be interesting to see how he meshes with this group and what he can bring.
Let's keep one of those names here for conversation, as we always talk about the Spirit being a team game, but sometimes we want to talk about individual players. Josh Bloom, who continues, I mean, is this the season he is blooming?
Yeah.
He scored goals in both games, and another shorthanded goal. What's up with Josh?
Another two shorthanded goals.
Was it two?
It was two. It was. There was one Saturday as well.
Oh, see, I missed that. It's become just kind of a regular thing. What's going on with that?
I'm not sure. He's scoring on every opportunity he gets shorthanded, which is amazing. He'd actually have 7 shorthanded goals. He missed an empty net the other night in Windsor, too. He almost had a second shorthanded goal in that game. So it's the team record for most shorthanded goals in a single season is 7. Josh Bloom has 6, and we're in the third month of the season. So it's... pretty clear that I think he's going to at least tie that record and most likely break it. And it's been amazing to watch him, because this year has been so interesting because we had the year off and Josh was a rookie when we were playing in 2019-20. And he was on the fourth line if he was in, and he wasn't getting a whole lot of time. Then you have a year to develop, away from the game, not in the OHL, with the OHL not playing last year. And then you come back this year, and it's just interesting to see the ebbs and the flows from players who really took advantage of that year off, and then players who really, you know, had to regroup after that year off and kind of put things back together. Josh is definitely one of those players that came in from the start hungry, and he did go in the third round of the NHL draft to Buffalo. That that probably helped with that motivational factor to get in and have a great year. And he really has. He's steering the ship for the team offensively right now.
Spirit have a couple of home games, including one tonight against Flint. Don't want to overlook that. But we do have a special guest in studio because you have one of those games coming up on Saturday at home. That's going to be another special tie-in to the community. You have brought a special guest in studio.
Yeah. Emily Yeager's here. She's the president and CEO of the CAN Council, and we've partnered with them as well as Yo and Yo CPAs for our Hometown Hero Night, which is a little different. Emily will explain. We've kind of changed the specialty night up a little bit to make it a little bit more localized after COVID-19 and everything that took place. So, but we're excited again to partner with the CAN Council on this night and again do another specialty jersey. Usually our jerseys that we've done for this event have been some of the biggest crowd pleasers that we've had. So we're excited about this game on Saturday and again look forward to continuing the partnership.
Emily Yeager, we appreciate you coming in this morning, President of the CAN Council. So what is going on with the game this year with the Spirit and your association?
Well, thanks for having me here. This year, we're taking a new spin on what used to be our superhero hockey night with the Saginaw Spirit. And this year, it is the hometown hero night with the Saginaw Spirit. Instead of having our caped crusaders that kids all ooh and ah about in the arena that night, we're going to honor the hometown heroes who have helped our community get through this pandemic with a large focus on mandated reporters, those folks who are mandated by their profession to report suspected child abuse and neglect. During the pandemic, we had an opportunity to realize just how important it is for those daycare professionals and teachers, pediatricians, and so forth to be in the lives of our children, to be the eyes and the ears on their circumstances and report anything that they suspect might be off with the child so that investigators can do their jobs and look into the situation to keep kiddos safe. So Hometown Heroes will have some Red Room fun with a meet and greet of some local professionals all in their fun, their garb, which is not a costume, but their uniform. Firefighters, police officers, doctors, and nurses will all be with us in the Red Room for a real hero meet and greet for the kiddos. Capes free to the first 500 kiddos, as well as Bam Bam sticks, which apparently are a lot of fun for the children to make noise with in the arena. We'll see how parents feel about that. nonetheless, this is a night for them, too. So there will be a hometown hero parade on ice that night, too.
For the services the CAN Council offers, again, with child abuse and neglect, you mentioned the pandemic, obviously. I mean, you were affected, too. How did that affect as far as being able to investigate, being able to do what you had to do as necessary, trying to keep the kids safe and find out if there's anything that's necessary going on that you had to get involved?
You know, nationwide, there was a reduction in reporting of child abuse and neglect. Early in the pandemic, it was thought perhaps there's less abuse and neglect happening. The reality really was that kiddos were, in many circumstances, locked inside of homes with those abusive situations. So it was simply a matter of the kiddos not getting into schools, daycares, pediatrician visits to have these signs of abuse or neglect recognized and reported. So our staff have never been more proud of them. They continue to work throughout the pandemic, showing great courage, coming into situations where our forensic interview rooms for the children who have been abused, we can't always guarantee 6 feet of distance between our interviewers and the children that they need to be speaking with. Showed great courage even from the early days when we didn't know, you might remember, are masks what we should be doing or do they make the matter worse? Perhaps there's still debate about that, but nonetheless, every day we've been there for our children. We have not missed a single day through this pandemic. We're fortunate to serve four counties, Aranac, Bay, Huron, and Saginaw. So, when quarantines impacted us personally with our staff, we were able to have another county come to the aid of our children.
For folks that would like some information about the CAN Council, I'm sure they can get it on Saturday during the game.
Absolutely.
beyond that, where do we send people to find out more about CAN Counseling?
CanCounsel.org will give you information not only about child abuse, also how we address it in our community and how you can be a part of it. We rely on volunteers, particularly those who will serve as court-appointed special advocates for children who are in the court system due to abuse or neglect. If someone has time on their hands and children in their heart, I really encourage them to consider becoming a court-appointed special advocate or a CASA volunteer. Learn more at CanCounsel.org. And certainly, you can support our mission financially as well through our website.
Emily Yeager, we appreciate you coming in this morning and giving us a few words about your involvement Saturday evening with the Spirit Game, the Hometown Heroes Night. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is a nice way to have some fun for, obviously, a very important cause. Joy, that's Saturday night. Quick reference for tonight, because we've got action on the home ice at the Dow Event Center, and it's the I-75 rivalry tonight.
Should be a good one. Fourth game of the 12 this year, and I think it's the fifth game, actually, right? And they're 3-1.
I think you're
I should probably know this. fifth game tonight between the Spirit and the Firebirds this season, and you know, we've only played once in Saginaw this year, Flint and Saginaw. So it's a good opportunity. If you haven't seen the rivalry yet this year, the games have been good. They've been close. So, again, looking forward to another tight game here tonight between two rivals. And it's we'll see. We'll see how Saginaw reacts. It had been a while since, you know, obviously it had been a while since Flint had won in their building against us. But it had been a while since Flint had won against us, period. So, you know, we'll see how this game goes here tonight. I fully expect that the Spirit will be ready to go. Again, a little shot in the arm in the lineup with Justin O'Donnell making his debut here tonight. And, you know, you never know. It's not the struggle hasn't been scoring goals for the Spirit, obviously, as they were able to score six back-to-back. It's just being able to hold on to leads. And I think that'll come with a little bit of experience and maturity for the group. And let's see. Let's see if they learn something from last week.
SaginawSpirit.com for tickets and information. We'll be listening tonight, 6:50 broadcast time. Joy, thanks for being in this morning.
All right, Charlie.